Gene, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your part in the aerobatic team. I gave you a little bit of an introduction, but if you wouldn't mind telling the folks a little bit about your background, how you came into flying and came to be with the Aeroshell team.
Well, I got out of high school and was drafted because of my grades weren't so good in college, but I tried that. And after the Navy, I got the GI Bill, got my licenses, decided I wanted to be an ag pilot, and that's what I wanted to do, and started a business in Arkansas, spent 25 years, and along that lines, I developed a little air cargo company that I haul on-demand freight with DC-3s, Beech-18s, and MU-2s, and I had a Metro liner, and I had some other stuff leased. It was really small, and during that time, interesting was that I was Bill Clinton's pilot. The state of Arkansas didn't own an airplane, and I had a 135 business, so when the governor needed to go somewhere, he would call me, and I'd come pick him up in a little Seneca 2, and we flew for like 7 years for Bill. And I know y'all are thinking right now and want to ask some questions, but I'm still scared of Bill because he's a very powerful man, so I don't say much. But I had very, very interesting years with Bill. Arkansas is the second poorest state in the Union. There's more people in Dallas than there are in the whole state. And for a man to come out of there as a little governor and become the president of the United States is pretty big time. I will tell one story. We were at a fundraiser. We took him up to Fayetteville and to meet some people, the Stevens, they're big bankers, the Tysons, the chicken people, and a lot of money. And Hillary and I was just standing kind of in the background, and a boy named George Meffert, the CEO of I can't think of the company, it was a huge company, asked Hillary, do you think Bill has a chance to become president? And she said, well, if I'll keep my mouth shut and he keep his zipper zipped up, we've got a chance.
Well, gentlemen, changing subjects back to the original. We talked about doing aerobatics. We talked about doing low-level aerobatics. We talked about T6 aerobatics and how challenges they can bring. We talked about formation. So tell me what kind of preparation we have for you guys to fly low-level aerobatics in formation at night. What kind of things do we have to make sure are lined up here to put on a show?
Well, of course, you know, obviously you got to have, you know, everybody's got to have their game face on you. Of course, the routine that we do at night is the same thing we do during the day, and as far as flying wing, doing the night aerobatics is not really a lot different, other than you obviously got all the strobe lights flashing at you. And what it does, it kind of kills your night vision. And so what ends up happening is when we do some of those in-trail maneuvers, but then we have to do a join up, then you don't have a lot of depth perception, and we have some pretty strong closure rates on some of those, and at night it's just real easy to overshoot those if you're not careful. So you really got to be on your game as far as, you know, because this year I'm leading. So I flew wing for about 12-13 years, now I'm flying lead, and so I'm having to be, it's a little bit different game, but one of the things I have to do is I have to make sure that, you know, I roll out the turns and set a line so that, you know, they've got a good smooth target for them to come up on. And you know, if I'm either, you know, not the turn radius is different, or if I've got a different, you know, if I've slowed down too much, or, you know, or hadn't slowed down enough, then it makes them very difficult. I have to make sure that's very consistent in order so they know when they come up that they know what they're coming up on. And because like I said, the closure rate sometimes is pretty fast, and you got to be able to just slide right up and stop in your spot.
Yeah, at night, you know what, I like flying at night. It's the air's more stable, usually a little cooler, you get a better performance. The only thing you really kind of have to be careful of is you tend to fly too close. And what I mean by that is there's a certain sight picture with any formation guys you've flown. you get your sight picture where you want it to be. Well, at night, you get so involved in what you're doing, you want that same sight picture. You don't realize what happens as it gets dark. You actually start moving closer and closer and closer so you can still see. And I've flown at night enough to where I went, just finally I'm looking at it, I'm like, no, you just got to move out. I'm 3 or 4 feet off of him, you know. So at night you have to constantly pay attention to exactly where you are at all times. And actually I found I have to actually make myself move out and stay, not let myself get caught in that, to getting in too close.
Yeah, for years Steve would be on the left side and I'm on the right, you know, and normally in normal formation, you know, number two sets the interval. But actually what we do is we kind of watch each other and try to set based on what the other guy does. I mean, if one guy's flying a little tighter, if I'm flying tighter, he'd fly tighter. If he's flying tighter, then I'd move in. And we've had several shows where we kind of debriefed after his old with, and he's like, man, you can fly as tight as you want, but I ain't getting any closer than that. You know, all of a sudden, I'd look over, and he's 3 feet, and I just find, all right, this is good enough. And then he'd look over me, and then usually when we debrief, he'd be saying the same thing. So, man, I kept looking at you, and you were moving up there close. I said, well, I thought that was you.
And we finally said, all right, that's enough. So, we've about hit the limit on flying any closer than we fly now. If you hit a gust of wind or you hit something, you know, just not right, you could definitely bump. So I think we're as close as we're going to get. But formation at night, one interesting thing that I found, because like I said, I've been doing it so long, is we were flying a show out over the Atlantic coast, and we were doing the down bomb burst. And it had really, we got pushed, and it was night. I mean, it was night. And one reason it got so dark was because the clouds were moving. It was a front moving in, so there weren't any stars out or anything. So we're doing the down bomb burst while I'm on the wing, right? Well, lead, that's your artificial horizon. I mean, that's what you're flying on. Well, we're going like this, and we're going up over the top and over the scene. Everything's just black. And he says, all right, and smoke on. Break now. And as I did my roll and to pull out, now I'm going away from the formation, so I'm on my own. And I look, and it's just black everywhere. Well, we had the sea and the night sky, so there was no horizon. And looking around, there was just nothing but black. So I had to go to the gauges just like that. Right then, I just go to the gauges and find exactly where I was and hold a heading and realize, you know, where I was on the gauges and pulled out. And then finally looking over my shoulder back, I could finally see the shoreline to find the horizon. So that's – I'm a aerobatic competency evaluator, and I give – guys are cards, so I always try to tell them that story that I got into. Nothing happened, everything was fine, but it could have gotten bad if I hadn't have been an instrument pilot, if I hadn't done it a bunch of times where I knew exactly how much I had rolled by the timing, by my movements of the controls. So I warn other pilots of that type of situation. So if any of you guys get out there trying this stuff, overwater shows are very different. It's nice to have this big wide runway with the landing lights down there, you know, runway lights and all that stuff. But a lot of times you don't have that situation. But anyway, that was part of it.
That was the same thing I was going to say about the night flying. I think you covered it pretty good.
Gene, I did have one question. You're back there, and you're the lucky guy that gets all the extra smoke and the lights and the tail light that's blazing back over off the rudder and all that. I was curious just how fun that was to be back there when a lot of this stuff is going on and at night with the visibility.
Well, I'm using, of course, different references than they are up under there. In what I do at night, Mark's big light he's got on the back. It's supposed to be a secret. I might have blown that, but I have to pull up a little further to put the light where I'm not looking at the light. And other than that, it's typically the in-slot references, but I just try to tighten it under there a little so that light is above me instead of me looking at the big light.
Thank you. Okay, so we see some incredible performance out of the aircraft and the pilots. So looking back at these aircraft, gentlemen, you'd think they'd be some way modified or somehow made to be faster or more powerful. Can you tell us a little bit about your aircraft?
We get that question constantly. Constantly. Are they modified? Are they modified? The only one that's modified is Gene's. He's in slot, but he does that because so he could race at Reno. But all the other three airplanes are totally stock. And we like to keep it that way. And the reason is because if we start modifying everything, then it comes a justification for what we do. And matter of fact, Mark and I have used other people's airplanes. From ours might break down or something, and we'll get one with a smoke system right out here and go do it. So we want to keep it that way, you know.
The funny thing, you know, there's a T6 aerobatic team over in South Africa. I'm sure everybody's seen their performance on the internet where they water skied their T6s. But anyway, those guys came over here, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. Actually, they've been over here a couple of times. I've met them. But the very first time they came, or one of them in particular came over and was, and this guy, every time we turn around, he's coming over and he's got this book. And he's got 40 questions. How do you this? How do you that? What power do you use here? What do you power? You know, all this stuff. I mean, he sits there and then he'd watch us fly, and then he'd come over and he says, "Well, I noticed it's such and such, and you did a turn here. What was this for?" I mean, you know, this guy's really dissecting what we're doing. So after a while, you know, he just came over. He'd come to our coach and just kind of hang out. Well, the very last day, we flew in a show. I think it was on a Sunday like this, and we recovered over at Weeks. We left that afternoon. We had our cars parked over there, and so we start loading all our gear. Well, he shows up, and he starts walking around, and he's looking under the wing, and he's looking over here and looking there. And he comes up, he goes, "They're not wrestlers." I said, "Do what?" He said, "They're not wrestlers." I said, "Say again." You know, and he says, "They're not racers." He said, "I thought they were all racers." We thought, well, that's the only way those guys can do it, because they're racers. I said, "No, they're box stock." And it's like, he threw the book and it's like, "I got to start over now."
My airplane raced for years in a stock T6 at Reno. If you went out there with your stock T6 wide open on that course, you would do about 195 if you got a good T6 with a good powerful engine. We're doing 245 out there now, so it's obvious they're not stock. And people ask me, "Well, what makes it go fast?" Well, it's a whole lot of really small things, mainly parasite drag. We do do a little tricking in the engine, like polishing the blower and 20 thousandths over. And we do a race prop, which is twisted a little and it's shorter. And a lot of what we call speed enhancement compound, which is Bondo, a lot of that on it to slick it up. And actually, I would think when we ferry together, I'm just miserable. My airplane is probably 15 to 18 miles an hour at the same power setting. Cruise faster than theirs. It's just slicker than theirs. And it's just a lot of times I just get sick of sitting back there thinking I'm going to fall out of the sky. I just go on. I'll see y'all there. But there is quite a 15 miles an hour to 20 in an airplane is a lot of difference in the air. So mine is an old racer. I do have a new race. I race every year at Reno. I've got two T6s. The team got so big in doing so many shows, I couldn't go from one airplane to the other. And we said stock, but if you looked at our panels, a lot of airline pilots look in there and say, "We don't even have this kind of equipment." We have some great sponsorships and autopilots and skywatches and everything. We're beautiful panels in the airplane, but